Blog Talk Radio.
From the studios of Teeing It Up, Swamps of Jersey, this is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling for Monday, July 25th, 2016. Time to preview the PGA Championship, joined by our friend Ryan Ballingy. Hello, sir.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good. Yahoo Sports, Devil Ball Golf Blog, and the Golf News Net website. I am glad to be speaking with you, and I think we're going to do this preview in reverse order. Do you see any reason not to pick Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson as your top two picks for this week?
I could easily pick Dustin Johnson. I feel pretty confident about him. I could easily pick Rory McIlroy, who has an incredible record in this championship, in particular in the last 5 years. But beyond that, I think that's the top four. I think you got to look at Rory, Dustin. I think you can look at Jason Day, but he has been a bad starter of late, so I kind of throw him out of the top four, top five. And then Stenson and Mickelson certainly deserve to be up there because they're coming off of a week's rest of the best final 18 holes of a major ever played. So I think that's reasonable to say those are the top four guys people should be looking at.
Yeah. You know, so often we've been talking about the PGA Championship in August, and we're in a much different part of the schedule. Here we go, right off one of the best Sundays you'll ever see in golf, 63-65, at the Open Championship. And for me, I think this is a big week for Phil Mickelson, because I think Phil can kind of salvage a season here in a sense. If he goes second, first this week, he'll obviously be on the Ryder Cup team. If he can help that Ryder Cup team win a Ryder Cup, get a major this year, and maybe even win the FedEx Cup or win a playoff event, I would think Phil's got to be absolutely ecstatic with how this week would end. He's got the good vibes from 05. I really think this could be the week Phil finally puts it together.
That would not shock me at all. I mean, as you mentioned, he's had a pretty decent year. I know he hasn't won, and he hasn't won in 3 years, but nonetheless, well, now more than 3 years. But he's had 3 second-place finishes this year. He's been in it, obviously, in the most recent major championship. He seems to feel rejuvenated. He doesn't seem like a 46-year-old golfer. He doesn't seem tired. So I think that this will be helpful for him to go to a place where he's done well in the past, obviously won a major here. I think that he likes this style of golf course because it's a little bit Augusta-ish. Not as much room as Augusta offers, especially with the rough they're expecting. I don't anticipate it being as friendly to miss, but it is similar in look in some senses where you've got to be able to get out of chutes. You've got to be able to place the ball a little bit. There are some dog legs, but by and large, you kind of just hit straight out there. And if you can do that, then you can score pretty well. And he can make a back nine charge. He's obviously done that pretty well over the course of his career, and that's where you're going to make up ground on the golf course. So, you know, if you start the tournament at number 10 on Thursday, you get two par fives in the front nine, then you play another nine without one. If you start the tournament on number one, you play 16 holes without a par five. So it's going to be an interesting difference, too, between going from the opening 36 holes where one day you're going to play off 10 and one day you're going to play off one. So a change of mindset as the golf course gets harder on the weekend, where your relief comes at the end. It doesn't come at the beginning of the golf course.
Yeah, having two par fives to finish is certainly interesting. We're talking to Ryan Ballingy here about the PGA Championship. Ryan, one of the things that interests me about this week, and the two of us have talked about this a lot over the years, is how much we both like how Kerry Hague sets up golf courses, in that you can make a good number if you are on, and if not, you can end up in some trouble spots. And with the heat that's been in this area, with the fact that heat means you have to be careful on the greens, and then with the possibility of monsoonal rains a couple times early in the week and then during the tournament itself, I do think we're going to have very scoreable conditions. And this is one of the reasons why I love the PGA, because it does mean somebody can go out there and shoot 64-65. And what was interesting to me is if you go back to the Open Championship, there were no complaints about Troon being too easy or Troon being not fit for the rota or anything like that. Those guys went out there and shot two sensational rounds, and they were applauded for it, which I was glad to see, because I'm sick and tired of people complaining about course setup, and I think we're going to see the same thing this week, where if somebody goes out there and shoots 64 or 65, good on them, versus, oh, this course was too easy, it was too wet, it was too soft, blah, blah, blah.
I think that Baltusrol has a little bit of a reputation as a fairly easy golf course. I mean, that's all relatively speaking, and it's not always... they've obviously converted a par 5 at the first hole into a par 4 to get down to 70, but... And the par 5 that is also, I think, 6, typically... a par 5 for the members, but that's been converted into a 4 because it's really a pretty straightforward hole. I don't think people will be surprised if there's a good score, if there is a 63. There was one year in 2005. Thomas Bjorn did it. So there are good rounds to be had at this golf course. The question is, can you have those good rounds on Saturday and Sunday? Because what Mickelson did 11 years ago was got to a hot start, was at 132 through 36 holes, and then just kind of hung on from a Monday finish. And he played an over par weekend. I mean, I think he was 4 over on the weekend or something like that. So it was 8 under the 4 over on the weekend. So, I mean, that's interesting to me that I think that I assume that Kerry Haig will set this up in a way that lives up to what Baltusrol is, not trying to trick it up, not trying to make it anything that it isn't, and just let the golf course kind of do its talking, and the winning score, if it's not outrageously hot or outrageously wet or anything like that, I would expect a winning score in like the 8-9 under par range, and just kind of see where it leaves them. There's not supposed to be a lot of wind. It can't go overboard with rough because, as you mentioned, it's been so dry. So the rough, even though it's deep, may not necessarily be as thick as they want it, which should make it a little bit more scoreable. So I think a good number is going to be out there. I don't think the PGA of America is going to be all that upset about it if it happens.
Yeah. I was going to say something, and it just escaped me. Yes. So this year we've had all first-time major winners. But with the exception of Danny Willett, I would say that both Dustin and Henrik were, you know, by far guys who were expected to get their first time major victories. Obviously with Danny it was a surprise, but I think people saw his talent and knew that he might be coming, but you know, maybe this was 2-3 years early. So I'm sitting there watching the Canadian Open yesterday and I'm thinking, here's a perfect guy to fit this year's script, and that's Brant Snedeker. He's has 8 tour wins. He's won a FedEx Cup. He's extremely well respected. People know how much talent he has. He's taught by Butch Harmon. He's got consistent game in all aspects that can consistently perform week to week. He's had some trouble in majors performing up to his talent. But if there's anybody who I think fits this script, maybe more so than Sergio, more so than Ricky, more so than Lee Westwood, I think Brant Snedeker fits 2016 really perfectly.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, I don't necessarily think of Brant Snedeker as the best ball striker in the world, and that's what I think of as Baltusrol.
Right.
I think the place. And I was about to say he's not going to do well because he's
right.
Playing good golf.
Yeah.
And so he should be considered on the short list. I have him in my top 15 this week. But I think that I would look towards somebody who is a better tee to green ball striker, because I don't believe that the green complexes at Baltusrol are all that hard to figure out. They're pretty obvious. There are a few that are really weird, like the one number 4. A couple points this week, some guys are going to complain about it because I don't know what the hell Tillinghast was thinking when he did that. But other than that, I think the golf course is pretty fair. One might get some complaints because the one's ground just in general is firmer than the rest of the course, especially around the green. It's really bizarre, but those guys will figure that out. But nonetheless, if you're a good ball striker, you should be able to reach these putting surfaces pretty easily, and they're not going to throw a lot of curveballs at you. I mean, they've got slope, they've got run, but it's not going to be anything crazy. So Snedeker's best skill is obviously putting. That could help him tremendously if he plays well for tee to green, because he should be able to tear them up. But I think about like a Sergio Garcia, and I know everyone goes, oh, he's never won one, but he's got there in the last two. And I know he wasn't substantially a part of it at the Open, but he was at the U.S. Open. And this seems like a golf course that should fit him perfectly. And I'm kind of surprised that he wasn't there in 05, but this, to me, seems like a Sergio Major. If there is one, like this one or Lee Westwood, as somebody who's been there a lot of times and just hasn't been able to put together four good putting days. And I think if they can do that and avoid the 135 bunkers on the golf course, then they're going to do really well. But Snedeker certainly deserves consideration.
You just made me think of something, which is you played Baltusrol at the media day, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what were your observations when you stepped off the golf course and as someone who is a fairly good player in your own right, so you can look at something from the professional standpoint and mentally envision it better than a lot of people can, what was your observations when you finished up?
Well, first I was mad that it didn't play better. I shot like 83 that day, and I was very unhappy about that because it should have been like 75.
Sounds like a golfer.
I shot myself in the foot a lot, and I think I shanked one, actually. But the golf course really isn't crazy hard. It is, but I say it's a ball striker's golf course because you can't just spray it everywhere and it's okay. If you spray it, you're in deep trouble. You need to be able to find the fairway off the tee. So for a 7,400-yard golf course, and we'll play with a little bit of firmness to it, a lot of these guys should be able to get around, especially the longer hitters. They don't need driver. The only hole you really desperately need driver is 17 because it's like 670 yards as a par 5. And it's the first of those two that are back-to-back to finish, whereas 18 is basically, for a lot of these guys, 2-iron, 7-iron, that are a little bit longer, but 17 is the true 5. Other than that, as I said, the green complexes really are not all that daunting. The putts are pretty straightforward. There were only a few on the golf course where I felt like I didn't know what to do. And there were only a couple where, like, if I got here, I would be in deep trouble. Now, one of those is actually one of the converted par 5s, because if you go long with it, you could find yourself in 3-puttville pretty quickly. But, and 4 is outrageous. But by and large, if you can keep the ball in play, you should do well. I mean, you really should. So I think that you're going to see a lot of guys hit 3-woods and 2-irons this week among the younger and longer players. And they'll try to tear up this course that way, taking into consideration that they could run up some shots on some of the holes that are a little bit firmer, that most of the greens are really not all of that difficult to comprehend where to put the ball, where not to put the ball, and there aren't a whole lot of no-go zones on the green. So this is an imminently scoreable golf course. I mean, that's why I believe someone's going to shoot a 64 or 63 this week. 62 could be in play in the right conditions. I mean, if they play Friday afternoon, maybe it's rain, there's a delay. I think there's supposed to be a significant amount of rain on Friday. If they delay it for a little while for a thunderstorm and come back out and someone's kind of just getting going, they could get hot and shoot 63. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Talking to Ryan Ballinger here about the PGA Championship. What was interesting, and I think what's interesting about this year in golf, is we've had a run of guys who have had over 100 starts with no victories who have gotten their wins. Von Taylor got his second. Brian Stewart got his first. Jim Herman got his first. There's been this run of guys who have just struggled and struggled and struggled. And this almost happened yesterday with Steve Wheatcroft. It almost happened with somebody else yesterday, too, down the stretch, where these guys who have just not run, Ricky Barnes. These guys who have just never gotten their first win in over, a ton of starts have finally broken through. Is there anybody way, way, way off the radar, do you think, can win this week? Because this has also been a season, as much as the Jason Days and the Adam Scotts and the Spieths and all those people have gotten their wins, where we've gotten some really off the radar guys.
I don't know how far off the radar we can go, but I really like Tony Finau this week. He's handled his four major appearances really well, top 20. Every time he's made a cut, he's finished top 20. That's pretty darn good. I like that. I like his attitude. I like the way he played and handled the tough conditions at the Open. Obviously, we're not going to see that. At Baltusrol, the wind is basically supposed to be dead all week, and the rain will be minimal. And he should be able to get around that golf course with, like I said, irons and fairway woods. If he wants to use driver on some holes where the corridors are a little bit more open, he can do that and really leave himself wedges at his will. If I'm thinking of somebody somewhat off the radar, that's that guy, it's J.D. Holmes, who has played well in the last two major championships and hasn't won one, but he's starting to figure out how to get close in them, and I think he deserves some recommendation for that. But again, I'm naming long players who can kind of make this golf course look pretty easy if they can get the ball into play. If they don't, then it's a disaster. But there are a lot of guys, and I should remark this, that I was thinking about this before I did the picks. There are probably 30 guys that are playing well enough to win a major right now.
Yeah.
If you look at everybody who's had either good finishes in the majors or they're playing well right now or both, you could reasonably say any of 30 guys could win. And I think that maybe among them, two-thirds are longer hitters. But by and large, a lot of them, but there are plenty of guys of every range and every age range and every kind of length type that could do really well here, again, if they keep the ball in play.
And I'm going to give you a couple names. The guy who I thought of was Aaron Baddeley, who looked like the old Aaron Baddeley down the stretch at the Barbasol and gave us the reaction of the year. Folks, if you have not seen his winning reaction, go to YouTube, type in Aaron Baddeley. It is the greatest victory celebration and shows you what 5 years struggling will do for you, because he just was so elated to be able to have his job back. But I really think he's the type of guy who can also go low, also gain momentum, who can do this year. Patton Kizzire, the rookie, has kind of found his name up there several times on leaderboards. I think if he gets the mojo going, he can almost be numb to the major championship pressure. And then there's Kyle Reifers and there's John Curran. Both those guys are journeyman people who have no business winning a major right now, who have not, Reifers got close to a win. Curran did sometime like I want to say a month and a half ago. They don't have the resumes to do it, but I think that we tend to see in majors a guy who has no business being up top end up top because they have no expectations for themselves. And I think one of those three guys can do it, and I would not be surprised if Aaron Baddeley is up there just because of how well he's playing. And then look at Johnny Vegas. He has shot 60 and 64 in his last two starts. I mean, here's a guy also, lots of mojo if he can get this train moving.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't really think about tipping Vegas ahead of the Canadian Open because after he shot the 60, he wet the bed for the entire weekend.
Yeah, he had a horrible finish.
He did a six-stroke lead and lost by three. I mean, that's pretty hard to do to have a nine-shot turnaround in two rounds. But then to come back and shoot 64, come from behind on a day when Glen Abbey was gettable. If there is a day, and I think it's going to be Friday, maybe Thursday just because it's going to be pretty firm, I would assume, with it being 95 degrees, the ball's going to fly. It's going to play like a 7,000-yard golf course instead of a 7,400-yard one. The Thursday and Friday, I think this is going to be similar to 05. Guys are going to get out to a big number, maybe 8, 9, 10 under par going into the weekend, and then all of a sudden they're going to pull the string and they're going to make the golf course harder because it's going to be 84, 85 degrees over the weekend. You don't have to worry about watering as much, losing the course as much if it all hangs on. And then Sunday should be, I think, difficult. I think it'll be hard to shoot 66 on Sunday. So if Vegas can get out there and just kind of hang on for a while, then I think he would do well. Baddeley's obviously a tremendous putter, has an amazing short game. He's finally put in all the work to kind of get through all that stack and tilt BS from over the years. And he's playing good golf again. I mean, he's rejuvenated his career this year. He's got like four top 10 finishes now, including the win. Maybe it's five. And he's done that with past champion status, not a good status to work off of. So guys like that, you mentioned Kyle Reifers, who's playing great golf this year. Kevin Chappell has played great golf this year. A bunch of second place finishes, three, I think. So there are a bunch of different guys that are off the beaten path a little bit from the top players we're thinking about to win, that could win. They would be a shock champion, but they're certainly playing well enough to do it.
Yeah. All right, sir. And just one last thing before we make our picks. You think they move the tee up on 17 at some point this week?
I think that they should. If they make it a 600-yard hole or so, it would be a fascinating decision to see how many, if any, guys chose to try to drive it over the cross bunkering. I think maybe four or five guys could do it if they moved it up to about 600 or 580 yards. But if they miss, those bunkers are not fun. They've got pretty high lips to them for what you guys would want to try and hit in for a second shot so that you wouldn't be able to go for it, which isn't that big of a penalty, to be truthful. But I think that they should do it one day and just let them take a rip at it. I think it would be fascinating to see who actually tries to go for it. Because I think, by and large, guys are going to get 2-iron and 3-wood and then just lay up to 70 or 80 yards. And it really won't be all that difficult unless they kind of trick out the whole location.
Yeah. All right, sir. We need your picks. We need your winner. We need your sleeper. We need the guy who has zero chance to win. My guy who has zero chance to win, besides the club pros, I'm going to go with Rocco Mediate. I know it's the easy one. He's the senior PGA champion. And in terms of guys who we see every week, I am not with you. I don't think Ricky Fowler is playing well enough and playing consistent enough to win right now. So sorry, Ricky.
And that's a reasonable thing to say. I think of the guys that have no shot to win. Of course, the club professionals have no chance, but they get a cool week out of it, or 2 days for most cases. John Daly's not going to win. I don't think Bubba Watson's going to win. I really don't. I think he will be flummoxed dramatically by the corridors of this golf course. I think he will hate every minute of it. Sleeper. We talked about so many at this point that, I mean, how deep do you want to go? I think Kevin Chappell would be a really good sleeper this week. He's kind of laid low a little bit of late, but I think that he has the kind of game that should work pretty well. It's just not that great of a putter, so we'll just have to see if that hangs on. The guy I like, it's got to be Dustin Johnson. It just has to be. I know he didn't close very well at Glen Abbey over the weekend, but I mean, he's been win-win, T2, T9. I mean, the last four tournaments have been far too good for him to not be in contention again.
By the way, don't you feel like Bubba Watson's the perfect guy to go out there and win the gold medal? I mean, he's the guy who would have all these majors just mystify him, and then he will go down to Rio, embrace it all, bring back gold. He is my early pick to win the gold medal, by the way. So just take
that. I think it's a good pick. I mean, if you look at the setup of the Olympic golf course, it fits his eye because there's no trees.
Yeah, exactly.
He can take the ball wherever he wants.
Exactly. There's no problems.
I'm actually surprised he hasn't won on a Gil Hance golf course before, but he did come close a couple different times in Doral, which is a Gil Hance number now, so that kind of makes sense.
Yes, it does. My winner's Phil. I just think, you know, he loves this area. He likes this golf course. He's so close. I think this is really the moment. And the flip side for Phil is I think if he does not win this week, I think there is a concern that he could mentally kind of not spiral downhill, but really get frustrated. Number two, as for my sleeper, is Aaron Baddeley. I really think Aaron Baddeley could, you know, he's playing with house money now. He said it in his winner's interview. I got nothing to lose now. I can just play golf. I've got this job locked up. I've got all these kids, my beautiful wife. I really think he might freewheel it this week. I just have a feeling about it.
I think we will have a fascinating leaderboard. Let me put it that way. I think we'll have a great mix of players. I mean, we saw no five, we saw old guys, unknowns, well-knowns, everything in between. And that is the one thing the PGA Championship tends to do, is get great guys up there, but you get some head scratchers, and that makes it super interesting as the final major of the year. So I think we'll have a great board, a great week.
And as our pal Shane Bacon pointed out, Tiger opened up in 75 in 05, battled back, and only lost by two.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, you know, big comebacks on a gettable setup are very doable and attainable. And I really think we may see that this week.
That would not surprise me at all. As Shane has said, and as we've talked about here, there's room to screw up, and there's room to go deep. And if you can just hang around when you catch fire, and you can run that for a good 27 or 36 holes, you have a chance to win this championship.
I hope we don't go to Monday. I hope we get to end this on Sunday. There's a chance. I mean, look at what Henrik Stenson could do, by the way. He has a chance to go Open Championship, PGA Championship, Olympic gold medal, FedEx Cup champion, and a Ryder Cup champion. Now, that's hard to explain.
Throw that in there.
What?
And Race to Dubai.
Yes.
Throw that in there.
Fantastic call. It's hard to do. It's very hard to win two majors in a year, plus the gold medal, plus all this stuff. But he's got a chance to have one of the more historic runs we've seen in the last 15, 20 years this year.
He sure does. And I wouldn't put it past him to do it. I mean, I know I didn't say he's going to be the winner,
right,
in my view this week, but would it be all that surprising? I mean, he's an incredible ball striker. He doesn't need driver. He can get around the golf course really easily. He's riding high from the best putting week of his life, so maybe he still thinks he's a good putter. I mean, it can all kind of line up this week, and then from there, that just snowballs at that point. If you win two majors, you're kind of on a high for 6 months, which should take him through into next year, and that could mean some really serious hardware for him.
You know it. Ryan Ballinger, Yahoo Sports, Double Ball Golf Blog, and the Golf News Net site and radio network. Have fun this week. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.